Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Chapter 3 in the book of Job. Chapter 3 in the book of Job. Job said, "For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet." Now, if I were going to paraphrase the first part of verse number 26, it could simply be said, I was about my father's business. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. But my subject is found in the last part of the verse 26. Yet trouble came. Yet trouble came. Doing what I was supposed to be doing. A man that eschewed evil. A man that walked upright. A man that prayed for his family. A man that was doing everything God wanted him to do. Yet trouble came. That's what I want to speak about. Be seated, please, and pray with us. Pray for us. Father, I dare not approach this subject or any subject without realizing, our Father, how much we need you. God, I do pray today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for these that have taken time out, Lord. I know the world is busy today, but thank you for those that set aside time for worship, set aside time to meet in the Father's house. Lord, I thought a while ago it's good to come to the Father's house and find the Father at home. Lord, I'm glad that there's a place where you can feel at home. I pray, God, you'll work in our hearts today. God, I pray you'd cleanse us afresh and anew, that you'd anoint us afresh and anew. Lord, every time I stand, I'm well aware this might be the last time I get to stand. So help me, Lord, to do my best to be a help to your people. And Lord, I pray today, if there's someone here that don't know you, Lord, that something would be said that would cause them to want to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Want to know the joy of sins forgiven. Want to know, Lord, the joy of going to heaven when we leave this world. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen. It's kind of a simple message, the way the Lord has laid it out in my heart. And there's four things I would like to magnify today in that message. The first thing being that trouble comes as a result of our first birth. The Word of God said in the book of Job, in chapter number 3, and verse number 1 through 3, after this opened Job his mouth, and he cursed his day. I think it's worthy of taking note that though Job, Brother Brian, he wouldn't curse God, but he cursed the day he was born. Job's in bad shape. There's a lot going on. All of his livestock have been killed, his servants, 10 children, and now he's covered in boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. That I cannot imagine. I remember as a child my dad having a boil on his back, and I remember at times that he would accidentally hit it on a door casing or something as he went through the door, and it would put him down on his knees. I'm telling you, the pain. Mom would try to doctor it and get, the old timers called it corruption, get that corruption out of it and doctor it. And finally dad had to go and have it lanced. But just one boil, Job's covered. He's covered. And the Bible said here, and Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived." Job, he's in a place in his life where he says it would have been better had I not even been born. I'm going to give you some things on that in a little bit. Here's a man that walked upright, he eschewed evil, he was a family man, he prayed for his family. And the Word of God said, yet trouble came. We're living in a sin-cursed world. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that Eve was beguiled by Satan. And then Eve gave to her husband and he did eat. And the whole creation fell under a curse. The serpent was cursed. The ground was cursed. The woman, beloved, was going to bear children and have great pain in doing so. The man was going to be the head. He was going to rule over his wife. That's the way God set it up. And the curse of sin, the man's going to sweat now. He's going to work the ground the way he's been doing. But I tell you, gardens would be, help me right here, so much more joyful without weeds. Would somebody help me right there? I mean, it's a constant job keeping the weeds out. Amen. And I'm telling you, now man is, because of that curse, those beautiful roses have thorns. And even the creation is brought under a curse. The Word of God said that in Adam all die. The Word of God said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So today, if you're sitting in this building and you're breathing right now, it is a promise from God that in Adam, because of our first birth, every one of us is going to die. One day after a while, we're not going to live here forever. Amen. I didn't say we're not going to live forever. We're not going to live here forever. We're not going to live in this body forever. The Bible said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Morgan's sitting back here and she's fixing to have her second baby. Am I right about that? Will you ever have to teach those babies to tell a lie, Morgan? Never. Will you ever have to teach them to be selfish or to be mean? Never. Will you ever have to teach them to be disobedient? Never. Why? Because it's in their nature. And you can trace that all the way back to Adam. On the contrary, we have to teach youngins to do the right thing. Amen. And so, one man, sin entered in the world, that's Adam, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then Job said it like this in Job 14, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Not long ago I celebrated my 66th birthday. There was a time in my life when I thought if you were 66 years old, you were not old, you were ancient. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it creeps up on you in a hurry. Amen. Your children, it seems like one day they're getting on the bus and the next thing you know, they're walking across the stage graduating. And the next thing you know, they're having children. And the next thing you know, their children are having children. Amen. And you've got four great-grandchildren. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, you may be young today, but you better realize something. Life is just like a vapor. It's here for a little while and then it vanishes away. How much better off we would be if we realized that. Trouble comes as a result of our first birth. Secondly, in the message today, and I think this is an important part of the message today, there are people here that I love dearly in this service that in recent days and months and years have faced overwhelming troubles in their lives. And I mean to tell you, God is trying to help me to help you this morning. Trouble comes as a result of our first birth. But then I'm going to give you this and I'm going to show you some examples and some godly men. Trouble confuses as a result of our first birth. There's times, beloved, when the trouble comes and we're just so confused. One preacher said it like this. I don't know of a better way to describe confusion. He said it's like being a termite in a yo-yo. Amen. That's confusion. Say amen. Go up and down and round and round. Amen. And then that's the way life is sometimes. There's mountains and there's valleys. The mountains are high and the valleys are deep and dark. Look at the confusion here. Turn with me in chapter number 3 to verse number 11. Job said, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Job is confused about this thing. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if you look at the text here, he said, I'd be better off if I were just, had I died, because then I'd be with the princes that had their gold and their house of silver. And he said, the wicked cease from troubling. Let me tell you something, beloved, about the wicked. When they die and leave this world, they ain't never seen no trouble like they're going to see when they leave this world. Job is confused, amen. He's thinking, I'd be better off to be like them rich kings and them counselors, amen, that live for the gold and live for the gusto of this world. And Job is confused. Listen, it's over and over in the book of Psalms. The Bible said, fret not because of evildoers that prosper in their way, amen. You look over there sometimes and see somebody as wicked can be, and it just seems like everything goes good, and they don't have trouble. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, trouble's coming for that crowd. Trouble like they've never seen before. And God's people are apt to get confused. Why? Why me, Lord? Jeremiah said, they are waxing fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge? Jeremiah sees it. David sees it. Asaph sees it. Listen, people in the Word of God, they look over there and you've probably seen it. Those folks don't go to church. They don't give nothing to the work of God. They live for themselves. It seems like they've got the best job. Seems like they've got the best health. But you mark this down, honey. The best that a lost man's ever going to experience is right here in this world. But glory to God, the worst that God's people are ever going to experience is right here in this world. For God's people, the best is yet to come. Yes. Trouble confuses. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 73. Psalm chapter 73. A psalm of Asaph. This paints the picture perfectly, so I need to just show it to you today. In Psalm chapter 73, the Bible starts off in verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Is your heart clean this morning? But as for me, he said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Well, look what the Bible said. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than the heart could wish. You hear me well right here, beloved. Because of this first birth, there's two men here. There's an old man and there's a new man. And I'm telling you, that old man will get confused, amen, when he looks over and sees somebody living wicked as hell. And yet, beloved, they seem to prosper day after day after day. Watch this now. He said they have more than the heart could wish. He said they are corrupt and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Let me just stop and say this. I didn't plan on it. How is it that you can go to Congress and be worth about $50,000 and in a year or two be worth $30 million. You look at that and say, what am I doing wrong? Amen. Vote for me. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the wicked are going to prosper in this world. But I'm going to tell you what, they might as well enjoy it while they can, honey, because there's a day coming when it's going to be over. Watch what the Bible said. He's confused. Here's Asaph, just like Job. He's confused, but he said in verse 12, "Behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain." Asaph is saying, what's the use for me to read my Bible? What's the use for me to pray? What's the use for me to give my tithe? What's the use for me to give to missions? Or what's the use for me to attend the house of God? What's the use for me to tell the story to somebody else? I've cleansed my heart in vain. It's all in vain. Beloved, that's a lie of the devil. You won't serve God long till that devil will jump up on your shoulder and he'll tell you it's all in vain. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to believe a word of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Rock of Ages, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work, Brother Cole, till Jesus comes. Trouble confuses as a result. Watch this now. Let me show you how to clear up the confusion. Down in verse number 16, he said, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until," that's an important word, "until I went into the sanctuary of God." Brother Chris, he said, "Then I understood their end." Brother Brian, their end's different than our end. Yeah. Their end is without a Savior. Our end is with a Savior. Amen. Their end, beloved, is a place called hell. Our end is a place called heaven. Their end is no peace. Our end is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. The great preacher of Victorian England, most everyone has heard of him, Charles Spurgeon. Many people don't know this, and it really is hard to believe if you've ever read one of his sermons or listened to one of his sermons. You talk about deep. This man gets down there, buddy, deep. Amen. He loved God. He loved God's people. And Charles Spurgeon, he describes such a season in his own life. He said, "I was lying upon my couch during this last week, and my spirits were sunken so low that I could weep by the hour like a child. And yet I knew not what I wept for. But a very slight thing will move me to tears just now. And a kind friend was telling me of some poor old soul living near who was suffering very, very great pain. And yet she was full of joy and rejoicing. I was so distressed by the hearing of that story and felt so ashamed of myself." Have any of God's people ever felt ashamed of yourself? You know what the molly grubs are? Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. You start pouring yourself into somebody else, you'll get over the molly grubs. If you'll open your eyes and look around, you'll find somebody a whole lot worse off than you are. He said this, "I was so distressed by the hearing of that story and felt so ashamed of myself that I did not know what to do, wondering why I should be in such a state as this, while this poor woman who had a terrible cancer and was in most frightful agony could nevertheless rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." The rest of the message is going to tell us how we can get there. Amen. And so their trouble comes as a result of our first birth. Trouble confuses as a result of our first birth. But the third thing in the message today is this. Trouble is clarified as a result of our second birth. Amen. Listen to me. This may be a poor illustration. And I've learned that God can even use poor illustrations. But if you've ever had a swimming pool, the water will get cloudy. If you've ever had a hot tub, the water will get cloudy. And you know what happens when the water gets cloudy? You got to put something in there. It's a chemical, and it's called a clarifier. Ooh, glory. I'm glad I got a clarifier this morning. Amen. And when we're born again, and we get in God's clarifier, things begin to clear up a little bit. about our trouble. Amen. We begin to look at our trouble in light of the Savior. We can take our trouble and crawl up to the cross, amen, and look up and say, I ain't got no trouble. Amen. We can look at our trouble in light of the Scripture. Amen. I'm going to show you in a minute. We can look at our trouble in light of the saints. Just look around at what others are going through. Amen. Just this week, beloved, I got a text asking prayer for a cousin that has a tumor on the brain. Just this week. Just this week, I got another text that a brother had passed away just this morning. Two precious ladies in our church lost their brother. Honey, we're living in that world. Amen. How do God's people, how is it clarified as a result of our second birth? If you look with me at Job chapter 1, go back over to Job, please. And you look at chapter 1 and verse number 20 and 22. This is not a lost man. This is not a man that does not know God. You remember now, he's buried his children. His children have died. His servants have died. His livestock has died. When this is written, he said in verse number 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. That was a sign of mourning. And he fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? He worshiped. Let me tell you something, beloved. I love that song, Sister Tanita, that you sang, God on the Mountain. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He's worthy of worship on the mountain. But he's worthy of worship in the valley. You say, why, preacher? Because he's the same God on the mountain that he is in the valley. And if he's worthy of worship at any time in our life, he's worthy of worship at all times in our life. Job said this. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all of this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Beloved, that can only happen in a man's heart that knows the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. Just a little while back, I was listening to the radio. A family stopped at an overlook, scenic overlook. I don't know where all of them are, or most of them, but I know there's one on 26 going towards Asheville, one or two. We've never done it, but you can get out, and they've even got binoculars, I think, on a pole that you can maybe put a quarter in. You can look the landscape over, and a 9-year-old boy went over. I heard that on the radio. My grandchildren aren't in here, are they? One of them is. But I couldn't help but think of my grandbabies. Could you imagine a mom and dad, Brother Brian? Their baby, you can't go down there. They had to call rescue, and they had to take a helicopter, let a basket, and they brought a lifeless body back up to the top. I'm going to tell you something right now. A man that could say, the Lord gave, and the Lord took away just with one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Job's got 10. 10. You say, Pastor, I don't think it's healthy to apply those type things personally. Oh, I think it is. I think it'll make you appreciate your wife more, make you appreciate your youngins more, make you appreciate your grandchildren more. And not take for granted their presence in our lives. I hope I never have to experience anything like that. But I'm telling you this. God will be the same as he was the night that I saw myself lost and undone. He'll be the same good God that he's always been. And he'll invite me to lean on his bosom. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, beloved, listen. He will invite me not to lean on my own understanding, but to lean on him, to lean on those everlasting arms, the clarifier. You see, when you get over to Job chapter 42, Job, he said, I've heard of thee, but hearing of me here. Because he said, now mine eyes see of me. And he realized, this is Brother Colt, it ain't God we're supposed to hate. It's us. He said, wherefore I abhor myself. And he said, I repent in dust and ashes. You say, what happened in Job's life? I'll tell you, God got that bottle of clarifier out and dumped it in his soul. And he was able to forgive those friends. Amen. And God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. That clarifier. Listen to this. The bitter news of Dawson Trotman's drowning. I just read you a verse about Job when he said, blessed be the name of the Lord, and he worshiped. Listen, this is real, folks. This is the Bible. But it's not only real in people's lives in the Bible. There are people living who love God and realize that all things work together for good to them that love God. The Bible didn't say all things are good. It said they're working together for good. It's a silly little illustration I use with that verse, but if you open your mouth and I take a teaspoon or a tablespoon full of flour and dump it in there, my goodness, you want a drink of water, amen. You're drying up. Peel that margarine or butter back and stick a stick of butter in there. Or give you a little bit of that baking soda, a little bit of yeast, amen. A little bit of that old buttermilk, and I cannot get past my nose, amen. Oh, listen, I'm not interested in that one part of the time. But if you give it to my wife, let her mix it up. Amen. And let her roll it out. And let her cut it out. Let her put it on a baking pan. And I'm telling you, there's some biscuits fixing to come out of that oven. You know what God's people realize? It ain't all good. But God's working it together for good. I promise you, in the end, there's some biscuits coming out. Amen. And I believe that's one of the reasons we're going to rejoice. We don't understand now. We're going to look back and see clearly what God was doing every step of the way. Dawson Trotman's drowning, the bitter news, it swept like cold wind across Shroon Lake to the shoreline. Eyewitnesses tell of the profound anxiety, the tears, the helpless disbelief in the faces of those who now looked out across the deep blue water. Everyone's face except one, Lila Trotman, Dawson's widow. As she suddenly walked upon the scene, a close friend shouted, oh, Lila, he's gone. Dawson's gone. To that, Lila replied in calm assurance, the words of Psalms 115 and verse 3. It says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. I don't know this woman, but I will know her one day after a while. Amen. You talk about faith. Amen. To your husband has just drowned and everybody's tore out of the frame. She said, our God is in the heaven and he has done whatsoever he pleased. It'd be a happy day in your life if you realized, beloved, you have an appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment, every one of us has an appointment. Amen. And it'd be a happy day if you'd realize that you didn't set the appointment. Miss Eve didn't set the appointment for me. Amen. We know I'd have been gone a long time ago if she set the appointment. Amen. Some of y'all wake up after a while and think that was funny. Amen. But I'm telling you this. There's a great peace in knowing God knew before I ever come in the world, Brother Brian, when I was leaving hell. God knew. And I trust him for my soul and my salvation. Why can't I trust him with everything else? That's what this woman did. Listen to these verses in Psalm 115, the two verses prior. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. You know what this Lila Trotman was doing? She's giving glory to God. To thy name give, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? That's what the heathen do. They come along and say, they'd say, Lila, where's your God now? She'd say, he's in the heavens. Just like he always was. And he's done whatsoever he pleased. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? All of the anguish, the sudden loneliness and that normally consumes and cripples those who survive. did not invade that woman's heart. Instead, she leaned hard upon her sovereign Lord, who had once again done what he pleased. There's all kinds of scripture. I'm not going to take the time. I was going to take you over there and show you about Paul, how that it clears up. He talked about being beaten of the Jews, 39 stripes, 40 stripes, save one, five times. He talked about being shipwrecked. He talked about being in perils of countrymen, perils among false brethren. And he talked about all the trouble that he went through. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Let me just round it up like this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm telling you, the trouble is clarified as a result of our second birth. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want to read just a couple of verses right here. Let's read verse 8 and verse number 9. Paul said, we're troubled on, what's that next word? You know what that means, youngins? That means there's trouble all around us. Amen. But Jesus told his disciples there were trouble all around them. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. The trouble around you is one thing, but if a trouble ever gets in you, that's another thing. Amen. God wants us to know that we're living in trouble sometimes. There's trouble. Paul said there's trouble on every side, yet not distressed. He said we're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We're talking about a born-again man. A man that's seeing it clearly, seeing the trouble clearly. Listen to what he said. He said, for the which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, can you believe that? Shipwrecked, beaten of the Jews. In perils of country, perils in the deep. I'm telling you, this man, beloved, listen, in prison oft. He said, besides that, Brother Cole, he said, the care of all the churches. This man loved God. And he said, here, our light affliction. You and I could have just took one verse and, oh, woe is me. Amen. But you can stack it all up. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. Here's the secret. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. You want things to get cleared up? I'm going to tell you something, Brother Brian. Wilcox Hall, the third floor. You keep a looking this way, it'll never get cleared up, will it, brother? But you go in there and you talk to the Lord on behalf, and you're looking up. Say amen. And things get cleared up. Amen. Oh, thank God Almighty, beloved. Listen, God has a clarifier for His people. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul was one that he wrote, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. God comforts you and helps you, not just to be helping you. He wants you to go on now and help somebody else. Amen. In their tribulation. Well, are you ready for the last thing? Amen. So trouble came. It comes as a result of our first birth. It confuses as a result of our first birth. Trouble is clarified as a result of our second birth. And I saved the best for last. Trouble will cease as a result of our second birth. It's going to stop. One day after a while, I'm going to a place where trouble can't come. Amen. John said in Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I love to think about heaven. I love to think about who's there. I love to think about what's there. I've never seen a gate hewn out of a solid pearl, but I believe it's going to be pretty. Miss Eve likes pearls. Amen. You'll like that one, won't you, honey? Amen. She'll be wanting to put it around her neck. Amen. Amen. If she don't straighten up, I'm going to help her. Colt's going to kill me after a while, ain't you, Colt? Amen. You're going to take up for Miss Eve. Amen. I'm excited about streets of gold, walls of jasper. I'm excited about that glassy sea round about the throne. I'm excited just to hear the praise in heaven. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. More excited than anything would just to be to see our Savior, to see our loved ones, And I want to sit down with people like Asaph. I want to sit down with people like David. I want to sit down with people like Job. I want to sit down with people like Joseph. You know, Joseph was doing the right thing, yet trouble came. You go out here and listen to these TV evangelists, they'll tell you if you do the right thing, you won't know trouble come. There's just a problem, one problem with them, they don't believe the Bible. Amen. The Bible teaches different. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes and there shall be no more death. I'm excited about what's in heaven, but I'm excited about what's not going to be in heaven. No more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. And the Bible said the former things are passed away. And then you get into Revelation 22 and verse number 3, and the Bible said there's no more curse. Ain't that good? The thorns are gone. The weeds are gone. You can read Isaiah 55 and it says the trees of the field will clap their hands. You can read Romans chapter number 8 and it'll teach you that the whole creation groans and travails. What's it want? What's the creation wanting? Wanting to get out from under that curse. Wanting to get to a place where a lion can lay down with a lamb. Where a child can play on the hole of an asp and not worry about getting bitten by that snake. Amen. Oh, thank God the day's coming when the curse will be lifted and the trouble is going to cease. I like this. Olivia could say, "Papa, tell me about heaven. I like what I wrote or read yesterday." It said, "We know very little about heaven. But I once heard a theologian describe it as an unknown region with a well-known inhabitant." And there's not a better way to think of it than that. Richard Baxter expresses the thought in these lines. "My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But it's enough that Christ knows all. And I shall be with Him." Let me ask you a question. Did you spend any time with Him last week? This morning? This is serious. What would make you think you would want to spend eternity with Him if you don't want to spend any time with Him now? Time is something that's precious. Once it's gone, it's gone. Following a campaign speech, a young man rushed up to Senator Everett Dirksen. I love this. And he said, "Senator, I wouldn't vote for you if you were St. Peter." The senator eyed the young man for a moment and said, "Son, if I were St. Peter, you couldn't vote for me because you wouldn't be in my district." I like that. C.S. Lewis said, "If you read history, you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this." You've heard a statement, "Oh, he's so heavenly minded. He's no earthly good." Impossible. Impossible to be heavenly minded and not be about the Father's business. If we're heavenly minded, we will be about earthly good. I want to ask you a question. I'm done. In the life and ministry of Jesus, was He heavenly minded? Was He? Shake your head up and down if you think He was. I know He was. Did the Bible say this about Jesus? "And He went about doing good." He didn't have His head in the clouds. Amen. But I tell you what He was trying to do. He was trying to help people get through the clouds to that place called heaven. That's why He could forgive an adulterous woman. That's why He could heal leprosy. That's why He could go there among the tombs and find a man that was nuts. Amen. But you know what He done? He took that nut and threaded him on the right bolt. Amen. Changed his life. Now He's clothed He's in His right mind. Ain't that wonderful? That's the Savior we serve. God help us today to realize, don't matter who you are, trouble's coming. It'll confuse you if you've never been born again. And sometimes it'll confuse you if you have been born again. But there's a clarifier. Get in that book. Amen. Get in that book. I'm going to tell you something. Mother's Day will be 13 years I've been here. Brother Billy, we buried some precious people. And even this pastor said at times, God, why couldn't you let them with us a little while longer? Lord, they love you. They're so faithful. Oh, you say, Pastor, I wouldn't confess that. If you ain't figured it out, I'm human. And sometimes, Brother Vince, when you're hurt down deep, it gets confusing. God, why do you let people... This is an old word that Daddy taught me years ago, Brother Junior. They're sorry. You know what I mean by sorry? They're lazy. They don't care about nothing. They live for themselves. Why do you let them get by so good? These people that love you suffer. Better get that book out. Dump a little clarifier in that cloudy water. If you don't, you ain't going on very far. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for my people. Thank you for your presence. God, from one week to the next, I don't know what I'm going to preach. I just depend on you. God, you didn't give me this for no reason. Somebody needed it. Yet trouble came. Lord, I can't wait to meet Job. I can't wait to meet all 20 of his youngins. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize, Lord, that this world's watching us when the trouble comes. They're watching us, Lord. Help us not to melt down. Help us, our Father, to look up. Help us to realize the things which we see are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Help us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.